This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, it's time for a gross out award.
Oh boy.
Here's Roseanne. Here's Roseanne talking about bathing.
I don't do anything. I never shower or anything unless I'm on TV. Like right before. I never wash my face and very seldom my hair. Seriously.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Seriously.
I don't do anything. I never shower or anything unless I'm on TV. Like right before. I never wash my face and very seldom my hair. Seriously.
I think you probably have a very nice ass as well.
Accidentally making their audience smarter. The Don and Mike Show.
I will undress you, and you will undress me, okay?
Very nice.
Very nice.
Did you bring condoms with you tonight?
All right, so I just saw on Johnny's computer the picture of Kirstie Alley in her bikini on Oprah. Baby got back. Uh-huh. Here's the thing.
How's the front look?
It's hard to tell. It's a front-on shot, and she's wearing some kind of a wrap.
However, not fair.
Now, it does show her tatas.
Yeah.
But
how are they looking?
It's hard to tell.
I have the steaming undies for Kirstie Alley.
Mike, she has thunderous thighs. Listen, I know this is real fast. You were just outside at Cancer Corner.
Right.
Just run back to John's real fast.
Okay.
And just take a look at the picture. Well, Robbie?
You wouldn't visit that alley?
That's a dark alley.
It is a very dark alley. But you know what? I think I would. I was looking at it as well. The legs are pretty good. They're not small.
No. The thighs. You know what? It looks like Larry Johnson from the Kansas City Chiefs. Really.
And he's beautiful, too.
She has the big, thunderous thighs. If I was Jenny Craig, I might be screaming, give me my money back from the waist down.
All right. Now, I am the biggest fan.
Anybody here. You just saw her on the Oprah show?
Legs. Those are Akbar legs.
Thank you.
I mean, she's got a ways to go, but hey, I congratulate. I mean, she was massive, so you got to give her credit for what she's done.
She still is massive.
But boy, oh boy.
Well, you know what? Give me a second.
I think it's a good alley.
I still think she's hot.
Here we go. Kirstie Alley.
She's funny. I mean, that happens.
Right.
This is very Elvis-like.
Okay.
Oh, no.
You're going to like this. Kirstie Alley. This was some hype about her being on Oprah today with a bikini on.
All right.
What makes a family shopping list is only part of the daily diet that ballooned Kirstie Alley from a buxom beauty to fat actress.
Right.
She says, quote,
ate with abandon.
Oh, no. Crohn's?
Aye, Crohn's. They have the delicious orange slices dipped in chalk. 26,000, 27,000, 28,000 calories a day.
Whoa.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whoa. Hold on a second.
Whoa.
Here's an average dinner. And I must use the Elvis voice for this, for Kirstie
Alley. This is when she was gaining the weight. This is an average dinner for her.
A steak.
Okay. Normal.
Half a loaf of French bread. Mm-hmm. 6 cups of pasta.
Yeah.
20 sugar-free popsicles.
Oh, dear.
And a dozen grape sodas.
And an entire cherry pie.
Is that not Elvis-like?
Entire cherry pie.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, I like that she got a protein in there with the steak. I think that's a good thing.
Now, hold on. I do not want to forget the fact that you fell off the wagon, but I do think that you'd like to hear the cougar story first.
I would love to hear the cougar story.
Yes.
You know, I'm so happy that Mr. Man is back in town. Bart is back.
You said cougar at the beginning of the show.
Yep.
Yes.
Back for his fall break. From Clemson University. He's got to go back tomorrow for classes, be back around Thanksgiving time.
Right.
So he's got like 5 days, and he's been here, and it's really been great because...
This is when he totally chills out, right? He just comes back and relaxes.
And things could not be better. I'm so proud of him, and he's doing great.
Good.
And he's cool with Janet, and everything is just working out spectacularly.
Good.
I'm very, very happy. Sure. And he's been going out with his friends, and, you know, he's 21 now, so... Kind of, you know, c'est la vie.
Right.
Just let me know where you're going to be. So it turns out Friday night is first night in town, and I was really sick. I mean, this flu thing that I had, I only wish this on my worst enemy. I had it coming out of both ends.
I was, you know, you didn't get into that at the beginning of the show. I was going to ask you that. So
it was
both sides.
Yeah, it was, and it was.
Do you think
like it was? Only way to violent diarrhea.
Do you think you had a reaction to the
the
shot?
The doc at the 24-hour ANOVA Center that I went to because I had high fever said no.
No.
Said that that's bunk. That's a wives' tale.
That was in your body beforehand.
That I was probably sick before. So very long story short, Bard knew that I was sick. Said, hey, I know it's my first night in town. Do you mind if I go out with my friends? Mm-hmm. Of course not. Knock yourself out. So calls me, says I'm going to be out most of the night. I'll see you tomorrow, meaning Saturday.
Right.
Because he and Janet and I were going to go to the movies. So he shows up and... He doesn't look banged up or anything.
Good.
But he comes to the door and he has a, you know, the grin like the cat that just got away with something.
The Cheshire cat.
And he says, Dad, I got to tell you what happened last night. And, you know, as always, I'm bracing for the worst.
Right.
You know, and he says, no, you're going to love this. He and his best buddy, this guy's been his best friend for a long time, went down to Adams Morgan, which is a very happening spot in D.C.
Very trendy location, a bar location.
Downtown D.C., big meat market area.
Mm-hmm.
Also, good idea to lock your doors down there.
All over D.C. now, they've had a bit of a crime situation.
Just a hint from me to you.
Well, I advise it.
Lock your doors.
Okay.
All doors. Car doors, house doors.
Windows up.
Windows up.
Back door.
Absolutely.
Yeah, watch that.
So, here's a Bart's. Relaying of the story is, he and his friend, who are also 21, they're in a bar. Now, as it turns out, they're not drinking. They're very conscious about the time and everything else.
Right.
But they're hanging out, and let's face it, they're looking for chicks.
Sure.
Okay? Seeing what happens. He says a couple of cougars come over and sit down, and one of the cougars says to Bart, how old are you? And he says, 21. And she said, you look just like Tucker Carlson.
Okay.
Now I gotta
was
say,
he wearing a bow tie?
He was. I saw Tucker Carlson on TV today wearing a regular tie.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
Maybe it's with the election cycle and all that.
I think it's Bart's new haircut. He got a slightly shorter haircut.
Okay.
I think she meant it as a compliment. And he said that he danced with her. And while they were dancing, that she said to him, I'm just paraphrasing here. She said, as our bodies move, and as we dance, I want you to picture God coming into our lives and God being a part of us. So
Bart, she's certifiable.
So Bart said that he was a little flipped out, and they got done with the dance, and they went back to the table. There were two.
It's kind of an arts community there.
So there are two cougars that have approached my son and his friend.
Do we have an estimate on the age? Because really, cougars...
Give me that, yes. Okay. One of them was 42. One of them was 35.
All right. Wow. Okay.
Now...
So he's, as far as his age is concerned, he's going for real cougar territory there.
Right. So what they do is there are these two chicks that have already approached them and said, hey, you're nice boys. What are you doing sitting here drinking Coca-Cola? Well, let's party it up a little bit.
Right.
So they have a drink and they start dancing, and then she says the stuff about God. They go back to the table and they switch off. Bart dances with the other one.
Right.
And his best friend dances with the one that Bart danced with. That
so the other one say, have you ever followed Satan?
No. I don't know what the one that Bart danced with, but they get back to the table, they go to the bathroom. The girls go to the bathroom.
Sure.
And Bart says that his best friend says to him, do you know what that woman said to me when we were dancing? And Bart thinks that he's going to say, yeah, that she's real into God. She said to him, I want you to think that every time we take a dance step, that we are making love, and that you are deep. And that I am, and I mean, it was very explicit, like almost like you would describe riding a horse.
Whoa!
So Bart said,
I like that.
So yeah. Bart said, he's sitting at the table like.
Meanwhile, he gets the God speech.
He's like, hold on, wait a minute. What am I, chop liver? I go out and dance with her, and she brings God into it. You go out and dance with her, she wants to jump in your pants. So it was at that time they decided, at least for that part of the night, the pairing had been made.
Yes.
That. This one was going to be with his friend, and he was going to continue to party and dance with the other one.
With the other one.
Now, the other one's 35. She really likes Bart. She's the one that said he looks like Tucker Carlson.
Right.
They're dancing, and I don't want to say they're dirty dancing, but they're dancing. And at one point, she whispers to him, how old do you think I am? And he said, 22.
He's a charmer. Yes.
And she said, no, I'm 35, and I have three kids.
Mm-hmm.
Three kids. Wow.
I admire her honesty for, you know, laying that on him right up front.
Yeah.
That did not deter my boy. It did not deter him. They continued to dance with these two cougars, and I guess through the night, the cougars are getting more touchy and more friendly.
Right.
Came to be closing time. Lights come up. Cougars say, how would you like to come back to our place to continue this evening?
Well, wow.
Bart said, and this is great, said, what about your kids? I'm just picturing my kid, my son.
Right.
Saying, well,
way to go, a responsible young man.
What about your kids? She says, no problem. They are at their dad's.
Wow.
So now you got the moment of decision. When you've got these two, and I use the word loosely, adult, because they're both just
right.
21. Right. Two 21-year-olds walk it out. I believe what happened was that they got in the car and said, we'll follow you. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, they just said, when it was just Bart and his friend alone in the car, said, can you really picture us going back and, like, getting it on with these two cougars? And they said, no.
So they didn't want to close the deal.
I think it may have been that...
They obviously were attractive women. Or were they not attractive women? Did he ever give you
I was not able to get that.
A cougar is often on the cusp of that, of being attractive or not.
I think the way Bart...
That's in your upcoming book, isn't it, Dr. Stack?
It's all in the book.
Right.
The way my son described them, yes, they were hot. And I think...
On the cusp.
And I think that they both... Frankly, it was like 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, they're in D.C. and Adams Morgan, and they're going to, what, follow two strange middle-aged, in their opinion,
was
women.
There any fear of the fact that if they went back to this pad, they might be chopped up into little pieces?
Well, I do believe that probably they did wonder, like, about baby's daddy.
Sure.
You know, I mean, because after all, these are two women, and I guess right. one of them had been talking about how she had been having
Or they problems. Go back and they recreate a scene from the movie Hostel.
Oh. You know,
might be a little scary that way. Yes, we live in a, well, it's a warehouse district. Just come down this flight of stairs.
So I said, well, how did you guys spend most of the night? And he said, oh, you know, Dad, we sat at the table, the four of us, and like, you know, they were playing with my hair and stuff.
Right.
And like, they were, and I'm just picturing like these old women with the cragged out hands and like
hand on
the baked on tan going, you know. You look like Tucker Carlson.
I keep picturing Judith Light from Who's the Boss.
That's a good movie.
Yeah. Hey, but Judith Light, even for a, you know, a 21-year-old, that's not that bad a deal.
Yeah, but not when she shaved her head for that cancer movie.
I thought that made her sexier than ever, Rob.
I didn't
sexy.
Like that anymore.
Judith Light, sexy, shaved head, sexy. Yeah,
when you're a young guy, you're a little charged up anyway.
Sure.
Right? Bonus. That's why cougars have that kind of success.
That's right.
Anyway, my boy's a gentleman, or his friend's a gentleman. Either way, one of them.
Between them.
But they made their escape.
Automatic voice message system.
Bart.
A great tone of indifference of a 21-year-old.
Bart.
Isn't that great? Like, what?
Right.
Bart.
Hi, Kirstie.
Can I come back for chocolate cake?
How old are you?
I'm 35. Goddamn, your thighs are huge, Kirstie. They are. Have you called Jenny yet? Hi, Bart.
He's not at home either.
This is your number one cougar.
It's too bad.
Cougar.
He's out with his friends. But I tell you, I laughed. We sat and we laughed. We had a good father-son
So they actually
laugh.
Were going to, you know, go through with this, and then they just made an editorial decision.
Yeah, no, they both absolutely knew that it would be a notch on the old belt.
Sure.
They could put it in their bag.
Another time.
Put it up on the stat sheet.
Yeah, that seems to be, women are kind of tending to go for the younger men. That's what they seem to do.
So all weekend, whenever we would be out, if we would watch the movies, or we were just screwing around, I would just see some of, hey, Bart, how about her? And I would pick women that look like, you know, the lady in that old,
the feminist?
Yeah. Oh, okay. From Borat, yes. Yeah, that's right.
Any of the feminists?
Any of them.
And really any of the women at the table at the pastor's house?
Yes.
It wasn't the pastor's house. It was somebody else's house, right. But any of the women there.
Again, we're referencing the movie Borat.
Yes.
You should see it again.
And I'm thinking again as we're talking about it, how I want to go back and remember how he references one of those feminists when he said, the man said,
"Oh no, he's it's something." He says
he's doing the narration.
I don't want to talk to you. She's using a man voice. Yes. Is that what he says?
I think he actually calls her a man.
An old man. He calls her an old man.
The old man.
I didn't want to talk to the old man anymore.
Oh, and here's just one more that I know we can give away. What is it that he says to Representative Alan Keyes, who is black? He says,
Buzz, you had it about the chocolate.
It wasn't to him. The line that we're talking about now is actually earlier in the movie. He's referring to someone who has real chocolate face, no makeup.
A brother.
His Kazakhstan way of saying black.
Oh, you know, and now it really, that's the mark of a great comedy, because you keep thinking about little scenes where you have to see it again and again.
Yes. And
the movie's going to make an amazing amount of money.
Here's what's sad is that of everybody on the show here, me, Mike, Buzz, Joe, John, Rob, everybody saw it except Rob.
And Rob will love it.
And without giving it away, aren't the first 5 minutes right up his alley?
For him, yes.
You'll unhinge your jaw.
Yeah.
You will unhinge your jaw.
You will never look at a baby chick the same way.
That's fine. You're not blowing anything.
I'm not giving anything away.
That's fine.
I think I need to. You know, my wife is out of town.
Yeah. You know what?
I really.
You know what?
Your
big load. What else do you got to do? You certainly don't produce this show. We have no guests today, so you could go see the movie.
Okay. So are you like solo tonight?
Yeah.
Yes, I am. But you don't want to go see it tonight, do you?
Well, the football game is on tonight. There's beer in my fridge.
That's the key.
That's a beer.
He is a creature of habit.
There's no beer at the theater. That's the name of my book.
He's a creature of habit.
There's no beer in this theater. There's no birthday party for me.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great if there was beer in all theaters?
Good beer.
Well, you can go to those theaters. Some do. Unfortunately, they show like...
They didn't explode like they were supposed to where...
Cinema,
you know,
Moon, Draft House?
Not Cinema and Draft House. They were actually...
There was a higher end where you could actually like have a mixed drink and have...
Waiter service and stuff like that.
Foo-foo food and stuff like that. But it was like foo-foo-foo-y because nobody wanted to pay for it.
There's still a couple around.
Oh, and about pay. Oh, my God. I'll just save this till tomorrow. But I had... Remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about that ridiculous DirecTV thing? Mm-hmm. You can get every channel for $7,500 a year, enough to buy a car with, for God's sake.
Right.
I had a very interesting discussion with my DirecTV representative about what an incredible ripoff the titanium package is.
Yeah, amazing.
And
they'll find that out quickly, too.
Listen, you know what? I'll write this down for tomorrow because it involves porno. I finally got the guy from DirecTV to admit to me that it's really only of value if you watch the porno channels all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll save that
it's
for tomorrow.
It's all about the porn. Yeah.
Save that for tomorrow.
Wow. And I predict that will fail miserably, that little experiment. But it doesn't matter if it fails because
they're fine.
Yeah, they're making plenty of money.
Yeah.
They're doing all right.
Do they still let you subscribe to just Playboy as a premium channel?
I think they do. Yeah. I think you can actually get Playboy all the time.
All right,
and now Playboy gives you a little of the real stuff once in a while.
They didn't used to, right?
Not enough. Well, tomorrow...
Not nearly enough.
Rub myself with a... Tell you about... Because it was a real fight I had with DirecTV because the guy was treating me like a Nimrod. And there's no way I'm going to pay... Are you kidding me? $7,500 for a year of programming on DirecTV? Who the freak is going to spend that?
It pays for itself if you watch the porno channels every day. And it pays for itself if you literally... watch every single movie again and again and again. If you priced it out, it would be if you got all the pay-per-views, you watched all the movies twice.
Can I? Let me just save it for tomorrow because I want to tell you his responses to my DirecTV concierge, who I finally broke down and got to admit exactly what's going on.
Oh, really?
And I'll follow that up tomorrow.
It's just a total ripoff.
By telling you about
Can't wait.
I forgot to tell you about what it was like ordering porno on the telephone when the website didn't work. Mm-hmm. That was also equally embarrassing, but that'll be for tomorrow because Mike, you know, as always, I do nothing except try to get in your way so you cannot get your say on the show.
I understand.
And I've been doing it. Goddamn, it's been hard work for the last two and a half hours to speak without letting you speak about your weekend.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, spotlight on my buddy right there, Robin Williams, Martin Short.
Shut up.
But you are.
I fell off, and it involves...
It's wagon trail.
It involves one guy... And I'm going to ask for people's help because I don't know whether he was famous or not.
Okay.
Because he said he was. He said he was on a TV show.
Everybody.
And he had a British accent.
Everybody loves Mike falling off the
wagon.
It's
a show you watch.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it The Office?
No. This is the much lower down the food chain. This is Trading Spaces.
Oh, what's his name?
It's been canceled. I don't know what his name is. I don't remember what his British name is.
Anyway, just
and it also involves somebody you know too, who I never met, who I was told was going to maybe be in the joint. And,
okay,
and
well,
that's why I went the second night. A football guy.
All right, let's save this. We'll come right back. Because remember, was it about a week ago that you said you weren't going to drink until
it was the
Thanksgiving?
It was the day after that big night I had with the race car driver. Denny Hamlin, who finished 10th, incidentally, and is still in the Nextel Cup race. Thanks.
Are you still not going to drink till Thanksgiving?
I am seriously about an inch deep and 10 miles wide. I really am. I'm trying to just figure out everything I can.
Did anybody else have
a... We had a little getaway. Carl and I had a little getaway down to Annapolis, and, you know, really... It just
hold on to that. Hold on to that. Whatever.
Old friends. I used to live in Annapolis.
Whatever you can remember, hold on to it.
I remember. I actually remember a lot.
Oh.
We left relatively early both nights.
Oh. Both.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't have been tired if I hadn't had alcohol during the day too.
I will undress you, and you will undress me. Okay.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened. No, I don't remember that part.
I will undress you, and you will undress me.
Damn, you're very sexy. You have a boyfriend?
I will have to get some lubricant, too.
Right. That was part of it.
Sure.
Well, I love hearing about you falling off the wagon.
Yeah.
And I love that it in some way involves, like, with the NASCAR guy from before, you know, star effing in a way.
Totally, completely by accident, because the star, well, he wasn't a star. I don't even know who this guy was. But it was kind of an altercation. It began as an altercation.
Sure.
Oh. It wasn't Ray Ray, was it?
No. No, no. Not the football guy.
Okay.
That team was the team you're talking about.
The Ravens?
Somebody you know.
Was it?
Higher up on the food chain.
Oh, my.
Yeah, but there was no contact.
Oh, okay.
So you don't have to worry about me embarrassing you. Or
no, I'm not worried about you. I'm
because
just
there was no. I mean, like we went back a second night because we were.
You didn't punch anybody, did you?
No. No, okay. No. It's a very, very peaceful. A little wobbly, you know, at first. You know, when we arrived the second night.
Okay, hold on. We'll come right back and we'll hear about night one and then night two.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, really, if anyone was counting on me staying on the wagon, I apologize.
Okay.
Apologize. Okay. There, it's out there.
He's Mike O'Mara, and he approves of this ad.
I do indeed.
I apologize.
I apologize, everybody.
It's like a last-minute political commercial.
Yes.
You would see on tonight.
Did I have something to drink? I could have come in here and lied, but it would not be the right thing to do. I'm Mike O'Mara, and I approved of that drinking.
Now, get your goddamn yard sign out of my lawn.
We had a great weekend.
Good.
I mean, great.
Well, that's good.
Really, really good. Solid all the way through.
Good.
All the way. I mean, and I, as I said... Maybe Rob can help or somebody can help because I think maybe this guy was, unless he was lying to me, maybe he was on TV or he wasn't.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, and before we continue, how about everybody I think knows that Rob and I had a bit of a tiff on the air on Friday. I apologize about that. Everything is fine. And here's a little conversation Rob and I had directly after.
Yeah.
We had some words on Friday's show.
I've done nothing wrong.
I want to tell you, this is Rob. Obviously, this is Rob
speaking. Right.
Okay. I've done nothing wrong. They arrest anybody they want. Jews are always playing the victim. But all this time, I'm the one who's been victimized.
Would you tell him to shut up?
Mr. Carroll, shut up, please. I want to call my son.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hold on a second. God, I screwed everything.
I never knew that Rob thought you were Jewish.
They go together like cigarettes and chili. Don and Mike.
I want to talk to my son.
He's on the telephone right now. Hey, Barty.
Hey, what's up, Bob?
Hey, the Cougar story.
Yeah.
I think I told all the details. I got a call from the break during Bart saying, did you?
During the break from Bart.
Yeah, what did I say?
He said, you got a call from the break during Bart.
Sorry. Backwards. Very nice.
Professor.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Very nice. And he said, were you talking about the Cougar thing? And that's all. I think I told it the way it happened. Anything you want. You know what? I think everybody.
I wasn't even listening, so I trust you had it under control.
I think everybody wanted to know the celebrities that the Cougars most resembled.
I think everybody kind of had a question as to the hot level of the Cougars. You know, were they handsome older women or what?
Well, there was one handsome older woman who looked, I guess, like a slightly younger Gwyneth Paltrow.
Very nice.
Was she, the one with three kids?
She's the one with two children. Oh, but she seemed reasonably sane.
Very nice.
Okay, and the one that you danced with that said something about God is dancing with us or something like that?
Yes, in order to truly feel the beat, I had to feel God.
Ah, I see.
Wow.
And I don't know a celebrity that she most resembled. She wasn't strikingly unattractive.
So as Buzz mentioned, perhaps she was on the cusp.
Yeah, on the cusp.
All right. Uh-huh. All right, bud. Good job. I love you. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Love you too, Bob.
All right. Bye, buddy.
Bye.
It's a jungle out there.
On the cusp. I really enjoy that expression.
Norman!
John?
Yes.
We can leave all of that in the recap.
Thank you.
Now, here we go. Let's talk to Mike about what happened. What happened over the weekend?
I fell off the wagon. I fell off the wagon.
Ouch.
And it wasn't anything that I really... Yeah, thank you. Oh, there's the old football clap. It was... Look. Friday night. Got done.
Hi, Mike.
Got done with the show on Friday. I had, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, you do an awful lot when you're getting this stuff ready. I find it a little taxing, and it was, you know, the end of a week. What a week. Oh, what a day. Mm-hmm. And I had mentioned, before you got sick, I had mentioned to Carla that, you know, with everything that we've been dealing with, a lot of stuff with work and everything, I want to do a getaway weekend. I want to get out of Dodge. I don't want to hang around my joint. I just want to get out of town and really, you know, maybe we'll plan something really special, or maybe we'll just get in the car and leave. And I got home Friday night, and I said, you know what?
You're a crazy easy rider like that.
Well, rarely do I do it. I really don't do it enough. And I said, you know, before we do that, really, it's been my experience just to hop in a car and drive somewhere. You end up at some roach motel somewhere, and it's not fun. So I checked this one place that we were going to go to, and they were sold out, like a lot of places would be. Mm-hmm. And then I said, well, what about maybe Annapolis? I used to live in Annapolis. Why don't we just, you know, call the hotel down there by
Annapolis,
the water.
The capital of Maryland.
Yes, the capital of Maryland, sailing capital of the world. Why don't we do that? Call the hotel. They had a room. Bam. I said, let's get in the car. And what was great about it is it was a getaway, but it's a getaway that's in our backyard.
Not that far.
So it's not really that far a drive.
Like an hour and a half.
And
tops.
As, you know, as I, maybe this was in the back of my mind the whole time, but I said, I know a bartender down there, my friend Dave, who is, you know, bartended at this joint, McGarvey's down there for a million years. It used to be my hang down there. That's where I would hang out all the time. Maybe he'll be there. And, so we get down to the hotel. And so that thought was, you know, if he's there, I'm sitting there trying to lie to myself here. I'm not going to lie. I probably had no thought of not falling off. It wasn't like I was saying, oh, I better not. I think my thoughts were, yeah, what the hell? Let's go out and relax a little bit, have a good time. And if this guy is there, so the better. It'll be fantastic. And, you know, it's really cool when you don't see somebody for, man, it's got to be like a decade. You don't see somebody for that many years and to walk in and immediately have a, you know, connection with
the
guy.
With
and
again,
it's just,
yeah.
And I walked to the back bar. It was very crowded because it was probably 10:30, quarter of 11 before we even walked in there. And, you know, when you get the, I think the reaction was the hands went up in the air and he kind of looked down, which is really, that's my greeting from old friends. It's not something where it's like, hello! It's like they look up, they put their hands up in the air, and then they look down and shake their head. That's really how old friends do it.
Shake their head ruefully.
Yeah, like, they yes, exactly.
Like,
oh my God.
There he is.
Oh boy.
The one man party is here.
It's really kind of that. Oh my God, isn't that? And of course, at that point, any thoughts of the chance of, you know, going without were completely out the window.
I'll drink to that.
You know, what am I going to do after I see this guy for 10 years? You know, right. am I going to terrify him by ordering his club soda? I'm not going to do that. So,
I would terrify him, Mike.
We ended up, getting very, very festive, for a very, very long time.
Code word, festive means drunk.
And, well, we didn't stay till closing, so I get credit for that.
Good
you know,
you,
I, you know, thank you, Carla, for dragging me out of there at a relatively reasonable hour. And it was very, very crowded. And this guy is, he's an artist as a bartender. Watching him work, he handles a room, must be 200 people in this room, and he's flying. He's just one guy behind the bar, and he does it, and he's the most, one of the fastest bartenders I've ever seen. He's also one of the most impatient. So one of the funniest thing he does is that he'll put down two beers in front of somebody, and I see him do this with this, obviously this college kid that was there, this girl who ordered a couple of beers for her and her friend, and he puts the beers down in front of her, and he says, okay, $7.50. And she starts like,
this slow process of going through it first. He goes, 8:50. it's just, that's the way he is. He's a cool guy, and I just want to give Dave a shout out because he really is a lot of fun. I like it. Now, during the course of the evening, he mentions that, there might be that guy that owns the Ravens that comes in occasionally. And I said, hey, that's funny.
Steve Biscotti. I know I screw up his name on purpose.
Said he hangs occasionally. And, I said, well, we're in town for both nights. Why don't we come back the next night, too? And that'll be an excuse. I don't have any other place that I would want to go hang out at. So we make those plans that we'll pop in and see him. He never ended up showing up, but it was an excuse to come back in.
Right.
And
so you use the fact that the owner for the Ravens might be at this bar on Saturday night.
Yeah, just to pop in and see, because I knew the guy, and I thought that would be very, very cool to say hello. It never happened anyway, but we got out of town. Now, you would think that after a bit of a night on Friday night, we were just going to, the plan was that we were going to wake up in the morning, and we're just going to walk around.
And vomit.
We were going to wake up.
And make bathrooms.
Sleep in, have a nice little room service.
Vomit, then sailing.
We were just going to go around and, pop in a few shops and, really do nothing except chill, have a nice little lunch. And I wake up in the morning, and we get a great hotel room. We're right on the water down there. And I wake up in the morning, and I look out the window, and I see that in the harbor there's Coast Guard with the lights on and everything. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And I say, this is unusual. And the last time that I had seen a scene like this, there'd been like a floater, where I've been on a buddy of mine's boat where somebody actually went over,
body, right?
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on. And then I hear the PA system. What do you want to say? What the hell do you want to say?
When I hear floater, I think of something else. And I don't need the Coast Guard for that.
There were a few of those, too. But I hear the, and I go to the window again, and, in my gray condition, I slide open the door.
Ashen.
And, I struggle to put my pants and my t-shirt on, and I kind of sleepily at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. No. I sleepily go out on the porch, on the little balcony they have, and they're doing this announcement, and there's this, little reggae band that's playing down on the dock, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And I foraged out into the lobby of the hotel and got one of those little magazines they have, one of those little entertainment newspapers.
Right.
And it turns out they're having a tug of war between Eastport and Annapolis. And I said, oh, well, this is very interesting. And I'm sitting out and I watch this tug of war and I can hear the PA and I'm enjoying this. And as I read further.
Okay, so now you're down in the lobby.
No, I'd come back from the lobby and I'm sitting on the balcony.
On your balcony.
Watching this, just having a great old time. Okay. Carla's, doing her thing of getting ready, which is, usually a 2.5 to 3 hour process. Uh-huh. And she's getting ready. And me, I don't care. You look at me. I don't worry really about how I look. As long as I can, get some of the filth off of myself, I'm fine. And I'm watching the tug of war. And I read further in this article that they are going to have a street festival that's going to be on the other side across the bridge over in Eastport. Uh-huh. And I said, bingo. Now, this to me is weekend getaway, no plans, nothing going on, right. And all of a sudden there's a little street festival. I said, hey, there'll be food, there'll be drink, and we'll go over there and see what's going on and see if there's a band or anything. And there was all of it. They were there. They had a little street festival, and we walk over. And it's one of the charities that they were doing it for was the SPCA. Ah. So there are dogs everywhere, including a couple of full-grown Great Pyrenees dogs like the puppy I have.
Like the one you have.
And it terrified Carla because she sees what this dog is going to become probably within the year.
A horse.
I mean, it's massive. These dogs were absolutely huge. And they had finished the tug of wars when we got over there, and it was 1,700 feet. I think it's the longest tug of war in the world. And they it's one side of town. It's the ye old type of thing where they're like, hey, the Maritime Republic of Eastport, And I don't know. I mean, I was too far away to see that. And by the time we got over there, they had a band playing, and I'm getting a little excited. And hey, this is really, really cool. And we were going to really just stop over, maybe get a snack, and then head back over. But one of the things they had was this huge, it appeared to be a very long Airstream kind of trailer. But in the trailer was cut out a bar, and they had this this Bloody Mary bar that was set up there. Hmm. And I said, this is just, it's fall. Everybody's
fall.
And really, in fairness to me, Don.
It's fall, and we all know what that means.
Everybody was tuning up, okay? I mean, when we got there, which would have been,
I guess 1 o'clock or so. I'm not sure about the time. That gets a little wobbly. Sure. We were, I said, hey, everybody's tuning up. What the heck?
Were you still gray?
I was not that bad, actually. I was actually, okay. I was feeling quite perky. I had made a controlled effort the night before.
So let's put a stop to that.
And, the controlled effort was, the controlled effort allowed me to feel perky enough where I'm not a hair of the dog guy.
I know that. That's
I'm not
I
a hair
asking.
Of the dog guy, but I said, man, it's fall. Everybody's festive. Everybody's got their dogs out and everybody's drinking a beer or a Bloody Mary. And I said, well, might as well go with the hard stuff at 1 o'clock. And, Carla wanted one too. And so Carla got a small one. I got a jumbo. And, and we were, and Grande. I think we had a few, a couple, and then moved our way back over, the bridge. And I think, I'm not sure what, I think Carla went upstairs to freshen up and, I stayed downstairs. And then we decided we'd go into the, restaurant and have lunch. And, what amazed me about Saturday was how little daylight I experienced, that it just seemed to me like, we were up, and then the sun went down again.
Right. It's the time change.
That's exactly what's the time change.
It's not the fact that you got up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
We were up at a reasonable, I think 11:30-ish, 12, we might have ventured out. It was not that bad, but it just seemed like the clock on the wall was just flying because we went and went to have lunch. I had a very, very light lunch, ate some oysters, and ate some shrimp cocktail. And then we said, well, what do you want to do?
The celery didn't fill you up?
And what's that?
The celery from the drink didn't fill you up?
No, my tummy didn't feel really like doing anything except drinking at that point.
Sure.
And so we went into the little bar, and at the same time, there are all these weddings going on. There was a midshipman wedding. Now, my mom, her first husband, who was killed in World War II, was married in the Naval Academy Chapel. So I'm feeling just a little bit nostalgic about seeing these midshipmen that are walking around.
Here when your go. Mom and dad come into it, that's when you really...
They were there with me all weekend.
You know what that
weekend,
is? That's the immediate trigger for Mike.
Yeah, and you will remember where we were because that is also where I had my 30th birthday party.
Oh, that's
down
a good...
There.
Yeah.
That's the same location that
that's
we were
a good,
at.
That's a hell of a spot.
I've got a lot of memories going on, and we spill over... some guy that was a salesman or something popped over and just said, do you mind if I join? And we just started chatting. And then about halfway through that, we determined we're really not going anywhere. We're probably going to stay right where we are. We had made a dinner reservation, which we were able to make it to dinner. We were able to make it to dinner. But about halfway through the conversation with this guy, one of the wedding receptions just spills into the bar. Now, for me, that's just, I call that fate. I call that fun, and I call that fate. And we're talking, you know, we're solving the world's problems. We're talking about politics. We're talking about the world, and you know, we're still tuning up, but not tuning up so much that we couldn't make it across the bridge again to have dinner. And by this time, Carl and I are both feeling a little bit logy. But I had promised my friend Dave that I'd stop in and see him again.
Sure. Right.
And that's when we went back over to the back bar where he was tending bar, and I bump into this guy. We're trying to get seats where we were the night before, and it's very crowded, and it's very hard to get a seat. It's a small bar. I just don't feel like standing up. And I bump into this guy, and he said, excuse me, that's my receipt. You moved my stuff. I said, no, I just moved your beer. I didn't know you were there. No, you moved my receipt. I said, and then I think I used the British accent that he was using.
No.
Because he was
pissing
me off ever so
bad. What did you say?
I think I said, no, I did not move your receipt. And, and he said, and I calmed it down really very, very quickly. We'd had another thing where, I had leaned against the bar and a lady had leaned into me, and I was just I was being the kind of customer that I wouldn't want to have in my own establishment.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
But not really bad. And because of that, I would immediately say, hey, it's fine. You know, let's have a shot and then move on to the next. That was very brief. We moved around. I mean, it really did. It was in fact, one of the guys that was involved in this thing kind of gave me a wave when he was leaving. I didn't know who he was. The British guy, or he sounded like British Australian, had one of those dialects.
Could he have been Scottish?
I don't know what he was. I mean, he was, hold on.
Rob has a couple of pictures for you.
Nope. Did
you mention?
No, that is not the guy.
What about this?
That is not the guy. No, that's not the guy.
Rob? Because he said there was a guy from Trading Spaces, and I thought I could
figure out who it was. I think that's the show he mentioned, and he said the show had been canceled.
Can you hold on?
He looked, you know who he looked a little bit like? Maybe? Okay. Mario Van Peebles, a little bit. He was kind of a...
Mario Van Peebles?
Oh, yeah. So he was black.
Well, he was...
Is it Mario Van Peebles? He's like mulatto?
I think so. I'm not sure.
I have to check the chart.
I wish I remembered the guy's name, but I ended up not talking to him for any length of time. I talked to him long enough to find out what he did, and then, you know, I was waiting for that guy maybe to show up from
the Ravens,
and that didn't happen. But it was just, you know, it was one of those evenings, and we left relatively early then too, and but Sunday was not in any way the same way Saturday was. I didn't wake up nearly as perky, and you know, we left at about 11 o'clock. What a day, and then proceeded to go home and just eat badly for the entire day.
Ah, perfect weekend.
Managed to stop at a Chinese restaurant, our favorite Chinese restaurant on the way home.
Excellent.
It was a fabulous weekend. It was a great weekend, but I fell hard.
That's okay.
I fell like the kind of fall that you would have like in New Orleans or something, where you would just spend the whole weekend kind of yay.
So what? Eight or 9 days on the wagon. Then
it was eight or nine. Yes, uh-huh.
And then now are you going back on the wagon now that you've had your weekend?
I believe so. Yes, okay. I believe.
Mike,
so.
I'm
yes.
here at the foot of the wagon, mm-hmm. and it's very comfortable off the wagon.
No, I think that
right back here.
No, everything's Don's back here at the helm. Everything's cool. I think it's
you
gonna
can
be
string
back to
eight
normal.
Or nine more days together
easily. Yes, I plan to. I certainly won't be doing anything like that this weekend. I have my kids, and I don't celebrate like that when I have my kids. And besides, I'm going to a special motorcycle class this weekend too. So it's with police officers.
You wouldn't
want to don't want to be drinking during that.
Be drinking on your motorcycle.
Not sure you want to do that.
Yeah, you don't want to be
when you're learning police techniques on a motorcycle. You don't want to be bombed.
You don't want to feel like Rob. Talk to Rob. He's there on the occasions when his kids are there. Pick up the phone. He's like, oh.
Oh no.
What are you doing? What's he having a Costello? Drunk Robin and his son watching Abbott and Costello.
As you can see, it's a visible man.
Why is Daddy crying watching Abbott and Costello?
It's very sad. And you don't want to go into your class smelling like Joe did when he walked in today.
Oh, my God.
Oh, really?
I got a whiff of Joe. Rob
oh, Joe was at the game yesterday,
Rob
right?
said to me, yes, before the show. He said, when you get a chance, just go smell Joe. I said, what do you mean? He said,
I say that every day.
He said, just walk in the same room as him.
Oh, really?
So I went back there. And no, granted, this was 3 hours ago.
Right.
But you're goddamn right.
I mean, I walked back there before the show, and I'm tuned to this. I said, I smell beer. And I was looking around because I wanted some.
There wasn't any.
And,
everybody wants some.
And there was none to be had. And Joe said, could be me.
Just lick his arm.
I was at the game.
Oh, great game it was. Yeah. Great game.
Stayed till the end. And also, Joe's voice sounds real good today.
How are you? Check it out. Joe, how is your voice today?
He's on the phone.
Joe?
He's on the phone.
Oh, he's talking to a listener. Well, that's good.
I'm listening.
Yell for us, Joe.
Joe?
I'd sure like to know the name of that guy, too, Rob, but I neither one of those people.
Yes.
Would.
Yell, Joe.
Hi.
Rob says your voice is not that at peak form today.
No, it's not. It's rather hoarse.
You were cheering for the Redskins?
Oh, man, what a party. I mean, game.
Do you know, I never do this, but even at the game yesterday, I was so infuriated. There were thousands of Dallas fans at
right.
Redskins games.
Yes.
And there was some ass in the beginning that was like standing up when it was like 3-2 or whatever the dumb score was, like, Cowboys, Cowboys. And I never do this. I stood up and said, sit down, ass. Go back to Dallas. And Janet's like, what's up with you? And then we had a woman walk through our section. A sister.
Right.
Okay, now, baby got back. She should not be wearing spandex.
Right.
She does have spandex, and it appears that what she's done is something like you would do on a little kid's project for a costume. What she's done is taken Elmer's glue and written in script a bunch of stuff on what at first we see is just her top, and then she's put sparkly stuff on the glue.
Right.
So it's like in script, it says, Dallas is my favorite team. The Redskins suck. So everybody's watching this woman. Celebrity Shamo, she resembles a fatter Jack A.
Wow.
As she's coming up, everybody's, because I mean, she's fat and this stuff is skin tight.
Yeah.
Everybody in our section is not watching the game, they're watching this woman. She turns around and it's almost like a sign from God. She bends over.
Oh boy.
Now, she bends over to pick something up. Not only does she have the biggest ass in the world in spandex, she has written in script with the glue and the sparkles on her ass. It says, Redskins fans can kiss my ass.
Oh, dear. Yeah, baby.
I'm telling you, if she is not the single greatest character I have ever seen in a football game, my God, the round mound of sound.
Was everyone strangely attracted to her?
Yeah. All the other Dallas fans, of course, were being yelled down.
I would make her my wife.
I'm sorry.
Very nice.
She could have made cheese, Mike.
Oh, gee, I hate to keep quoting more.
We're doing it outside, too. You can't. Once you've seen that movie, you're going to be doing it for a month.
She could have made cheese.
It's insane.
But she's probably really good making bathroom.
Toilet.
Making toilet.
We need to break.
Oh, we do. Okay. We'll be back more of this. Wow, look at all these phone calls. Oh. Okay, maybe we'll take some. We'll come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.